Broadcasting 2.0 for October 2nd, 2020. This is episode 5. We are juggling the junket. There's nothing like alliteration.
What's a junket?
A junket? Hold on a second. Ladies and gentlemen, please say hello to my co-founder and friend, Dave Jones, here on Podcasting 2.0.
Hello.
Hey, you know what a junket is?
Is that like, I guess that'd be like a trip, right? Like a flight or something?
Yeah, it's a Hollywood term. Where typically you'd have a movie to promote and you go into a city or a country, a city in a different country. You set up in the hotel and all the camera crews will have their own little room and they'll have 5 minutes. And you go in and you're an actor or whatever and you'll answer some kind of very standard questions. And then you'll have a publicist who will whisk you away to the next one. And what it winds up giving you is really... canned, boring interviews, and a very tired actor. That's for sure.
That's pretty much a normal day for me.
Exactly.
Interviews and
hanging out,
PR.
Yeah, it looks so glamorous. It really does.
Yeah.
And I used to do the other side of that, the interviewing and the junkets. And you're never happy. It's like you never get the guest long enough. You can never ask you can never build enough of a rapport that you can ask a question that may be a little deeper or controversial or thought-provoking.
Do you always have the pre-script where you can only ask these things? And
yeah, you have that sometimes. You'll have that. But also, you need for your piece, you need to get the basic things out, which everyone else is getting the same stuff. What's the movie about? What's the book about? What was it like working with that director? All that kind of stuff.
Okay, I got you.
So I've been on a junket for the cause for the past, week. Has it been a week?
It's like the Olive Garden tour of Italy. It's like, this is the tour of podcasts.
Yeah. Let me see. What do we have? We had, was it the International Podcast Day?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was that the first one? Because it feels like there was something else before that.
It feels like there was something else too, but I think that was all it was.
Let me see. Hold on a second. I have a way of looking at this on a calendar. It should work if I just do the whole month here. Gosh, I can never get that to work.
Are you a calendar guy? I mean, do you like live and die by your calendar?
I only have, my junket stuff in there. Okay. That's why I'm trying to look. Let's see. I had International Podcast Day. There was some Dutch stuff. I did some Dutch stuff. Okay. Well, Hotep Jesus last Friday.
That's what it was.
That came after... after we did episode 4 of Podcasting 2.0.
I feel dumb. I didn't know. I never heard of Hotep Jesus. Everybody seems like they know exactly what Hotep Jesus is, but I've never even heard of it.
Well, Rogan mentioned, or I think that he might have had Hotep on for a second or mentioned him. Okay. I can't remember exactly. And it's another version of ADOS. It's an interesting group. But he's deep into crypto. He's just an interesting guy. He's a... And I like that. I like speaking with interesting people. And I guess my point, I'm going to bring this up, is I have an opportunity here to make sure I don't stumble on something that happened the last time the first time we booted up podcasting. And I'm positioning myself as, the person to get the word out and to try and get developers in and try to, promote the whole concept. It's the cheapest way to do it is to abuse me for that. What sometimes happens is I mess up. I say something wrong. I talk about one project more than the other. So for instance, I felt really bad on International Podcast Day when the guys who were doing the show, Todd and Mike, who also were on the podcastindex.social, they brought up Podfriend, and of course I'm lyrical about Podfriend, and then I couldn't remember cast coverage. I couldn't remember the name, like castcoverage.com. Yeah. And it's disappointing. It's disappointing for someone who's poured their heart into it. But I'd love to talk about Pod News and everything. There's so many different things that are taking place.
Pod browser.
So much stuff. And so I'm trying to promote it while also trying to stay interesting It's sometimes it's just hard. But I thought we got some great exposure on International Podcast Day. I got a lot of incoming emails from people who are interested. And of course, I send as many of them as I can over to the social. And yeah, if appropriate.
We had quite a few people, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think we have like 110, 115 people now who are on, or at least registered on the system.
Yeah, that's great. There's a lot of good discussions going on that are not just about the index itself. I mean, there's great discussions about future RSS namespaces and, you know, work being done on other, you know, people's collections of feeds. And I mean, it's just like, and just general, I like James Cridlin. He pops in, you know, since he's 12 hours out of phase.
Right.
So he's out of phase, like,
right.
Yeah. He pops in and just like throws a couple of news bombs in there and you don't hear about him for the rest of the, you know, you don't hear from him for the rest of the day. Yeah. And everybody's like,
he's gone to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's always something cool going on there.
Yeah, there really is. And you're right. It's good thought. And gosh, I love Mastodon so much because it really, you know, it doesn't have that. All of these things could turn into religious arguments, you know, about technologies, yeah, etc. And I really think that it's this format and not the threaded format. See, you know, I just recall from my own experience with collaborative projects like this, when it's really threaded, like a bulletin board style, it can get pretty whacked, you know, and then you really fall into a long discussion thread and you miss all this other stuff. And then This is much more Twitter style, but without the algo. So the stuff doesn't, you know, you come in, it's like, okay, oh, here's new stuff. I scroll down. Oh, I saw that already. I'm done with that column. Okay. There's nothing else to do.
It's like the river style.
It is.
RSS reader totally. Rather than the inbox style.
Yeah. And I think that's very, very beneficial to us. And we miss stuff too, of course.
That's always the problem.
Well, but in my experiences, the stuff that needs to float back up does eventually.
Yeah, let's like this morning. I was like, okay, let's roll this out. And you were in with the beta site, and you were like, oh, I had some stuff that I need fixed before we do that. So I had to scroll back down. Like, oh, I missed this entire thing from you. Mm-hmm. So you missed stuff, but that's fine. You can go back. Like you said, it flows to the top. You can go back and find it. You
know? Exactly, exactly. And now Trent rightly says, okay, can you put this into the GitHub? Now I'm like, oh shit, oh, I gotta figure out how to do that. Now it's like, oh my, what am I doing here?
He threw something out there. He's like, can you put it on a Jabberwocky or some crap like that? Which is some word I've never even heard of. And I'm like,
I don't know what to do either.
Yeah, but and I clicked on it. I'm like, this is like four columns of blank that I don't understand.
My go-to is, hey Dave, can you put that up there in the Jabberwocky for me?
Yeah.
It's like, that'll be easy. Damn. Anyway, so International Podcast, I thought that was a good appearance. And of course I had ringers because I had, Todd and Mike and they're involved in the project. So,
I listened to it. That was a great show.
Yeah. I thought they did a good job. Now I didn't have much time to see all of it. Because I had a dinner that night, and then I went to, I might as well just throw this out there. Then I had received an invitation from Whitstone Group, and they're a mining company out. They're right in the middle between College Station, which is where Texas A&M is, and Austin, and they've got Houston not far. But anyway,
which is otherwise known as the third level of hell as far as heat.
Yes. Goes. Oh yeah.
It's about 1,000 degrees there.
Yeah. Yeah. So now it's still nice weather, or it's becoming nice weather here, but they're right at the switch point of the Texas grid. We have our own grid between East and West Texas. And if I understood it right, I think they said they had 750 megawatts coming out of this station, which is, you know, just a huge pipe, but they're running 60,000 Bitmain mining machines, and it was unbelievable to see. And these guys were fun. They're like crypto cowboys out there in the desert. That really, so cool. Really interesting. And
I had a Bitmain unit. It was an ant miner. Gosh, like an S9 or S8, some mod. I mean, this is a few years ago when you could actually, you know, when you could actually do it on a small scale and mine some stuff and actually make some, you know, make a little bit of profit. And, but they, you know, I had two of those, and I had mined some stuff, some Bitcoin on my CPU, and then, before when that was feasible, and then it outgrew that, and I bought like a video card. I did the normal progression, Yeah. And using my profits from the previous stuff to buy the new hardware.
Right.
And so then I bought the Antminers, the Bitmain Antminers, and I bought two of those. And it's like, by the time that those paid themselves back and I got some profit, I was like, you know what? This is
yeah, too much. It's exponential, the growth.
I'm out. Yeah.
So you also know then that it's all about your power management.
Oh yeah, totally. Those things pump out some serious
heat. So they would just show me how some of that works and how they can turn machines on and off. But the thing that tripped me out, and they have L9s and I think a couple M3s, like 20,000 M3s, which is the next level for anyone who knows what that means. But these are, you know, specific machines that just, that's what they do, is mine crypto. But the way you'd think they have a data center, but nothing could be further from the truth. They've come up with this ingenious concept where they just have a big shed. I mean, it was just open, big open door on the side because they're moving stuff in and out. And they have two walls parallel to each other of just nothing but these Bitmain machines shoved in against the wall with the machines. It has a fan on the back, one of those kind of standard big square fans. That's pushed through a hole in the wall. And so in between those two walls, and they've covered the sides, you basically have now a big funnel where all the hot air from these machines is being blowing in, and it blows up and the roof is open and all the heat dissipates through the roof.
It sounds like what they did is that they created a gigantic tower PC case.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly what it is. And we went in the middle, you know, to open up this door. Poof, big pressure difference. He says, no, don't worry. When you go in, it equalizes. I'm like, I'm either going in the furnace and I'm going to die in hell. So I go through.
That's awesome.
And yeah, it was warm in there, of course, but just ingenious, really, really fun to see what they were doing.
Oh, that's cool.
Anyway, so I just thought I'd throw that out there. We hadn't actually talked about it.
You sent me a message. You're like, you know, this thing's crazy. I got to tell you about it.
Yeah.
That whole idea of trying to manage that much. But see, the crazy thing about crypto now is that's like the only way you can make money. I mean, you can't mine on anything like a small scale anymore. No, it's just not feasible.
No,
there's too much horsepower out there.
Yeah. Well, these guys definitely have quite the operation. There's a lot going on in Austin. So I'd like connecting with that community because I have a feeling we'll be interacting with them one way or the other someday.
That'd be fun.
Speaking of which, and I just finished an interview today with Max Kaiser for his Orange Pill podcast, which is him and Stacy together. And it was mainly about Podcast Index and the philosophy behind it and, you know, just where we're going, what the different mission statements are. And that's really, they really wanted me on because of that. And we also talked about my controversial statements about Bitcoin on the Joe Rogan show. That was fun.
By controversial, it means didn't follow the religious.
Exactly. But I also said, hey, you know what? I'm not butthurt by it. First of all, I find it incredibly entertaining. I like seeing that people give a shit about something. The reasons why is okay, whatever. But there's a tension now, and I'm learning, and I really like it. And I don't, you know, I think it takes guys like us to come in and say, hey, why don't we do something this way? Mm. And so, I mean, I've got all kinds of incoming emails from people who have a lot of different ideas.
There's a lot of value to be had from anybody who's on the outside of something to come in and say, and just ask a sort of simplistic questions. Because a lot of times that you get so focused, and I find myself doing this too, you know, you're writing code, you're trying to get this stuff to work or you're involved in whatever, you know, whatever your project is. And then you just kind of get in the tunnel and you don't see what's going on outside of your tunnel. And then you have somebody comes in and just like, hey, what about so-and-so? And you're like, damn, I didn't even think about that, you know?
Yes.
And it's very helpful to have somebody come in who's not married to it.
And I think that's kind of what happened with podcasting. Because the technology, the enclosure in RSS, that was done 2 years, 3 years before I saw the iPod. That's what happened. I saw the iPod and went, this is not a jukebox. This is a radio. This is a radio receiver. This is a little radio, a little transistor radio.
Yeah. And I thought that was cool. What did y'all talked about that on the International Podcast Day
episode? Ah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all spent a lot of time talking about just this whole idea of these receipts, you know, just these things are basically just radios. And I thought that was a good analogy.
And it's the right one. And let me just finish this up, and then I want to get into, first of all, I want to know how your week was, because, you know, we haven't really caught up. So Max, and that airs, I think, Sunday. And it was fun because they had a viewer question, and the viewer question was from our very own Madge Weinstein.
Madge Weinstein.
Yeah, Madge is on podcastindex.social. Madge is the original bloated lesbian from the pod show days. Show on our network, and Madge is having a lot of problem with indexes with her show on Google, and then we followed. I mean, we've continued to follow each other on Twitter, I think, for forever. Mm-hmm. And so she naturally came over, and she's technical, so she knows a lot of stuff, and is also a user, which is nice. You know, as a frustrated user with shit not working.
Yeah.
And the question was, you know, and it's a valid one, so I just want to address our missions again. Can Adam really assure us that this index is going to be independent and it's not just some ploy to make some money and run off with millions? And it's a valid question. I want to make sure we continue to address that. I will have.
Dang, we're busted.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Whoops. We're done for. The mission is, first of all, preserving podcasting as a platform for free speech. And we're in the middle of that right now. I mean, that is the entire idea, is to have a functioning mothership core. And if we can replicate this, distribute it, IPFS it, blockchain it, I don't care what we come up with that takes the single point of failure out of it. We're doing our archiving as promised. That is by itself has to remain in that state. Otherwise no one will benefit and it all just fall apart. Yeah. And so that promise is there. And I think anybody can take pretty much every bit of code that they would need to set it up and replicate it. Am I correct?
Well, the core API code, is not,
but we're not done yet. With it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to put it up until I'm fit, but I mean, it'll go up. All of it will go up.
But please, I'd like you to talk about that specifically because, that is an important piece, but you have not, put it up on a GitHub or anything for public, view, feedback, et cetera. Just explain your methodology.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, so what we did with Freedom Controller and I've open sourced a few things over the years in addition to that. And you've run into an issue when you open source something very quickly. I mean, open sourcing a significantly large code base is not a small endeavor. If it's large enough, certain companies that decide to open source something, they may spend months with a team dedicated to just going through and getting it ready to open source. Now, this obviously Podcast Index API is not to that level, but it doesn't have to get very big before you run into a lot of work to make something that's ready to open source. You have to go through there and make sure that everything's documented correctly. Otherwise you're just dumping a bunch of garbage on people. And nobody's going to sit there and run through every line of 100,000 lines of code and try to figure out what's going on. It has to be documented and commented. It also you have to go through there and make sure that you didn't leave any static passwords or configuration parameters that may be sensitive to your system that you're running. You got to go through there and really just kind of go line by line through all your configuration files. You got to go example would be I leave to-do markers all over my code. I'll just, I use JetBrains IDE. And if you just do // to-do, it recognizes that as a keyword and you can filter when you get ready to do a commit or something like that. It'll say, hey, these are some outstanding to-do items. So it's like those things are just kind of like scattered throughout the code. And you got to go, sometimes those can be things you don't want the public to see.
Yeah.
You know, hey, remember to go do this thing because it'll, have this crazy effect, And so it's kind of a big process to go through open sourcing a project. And so I'm just not ready to do that yet. That when I feel like it's stable enough to where I can just sit back and let it run on its own without having to do a lot of bug fixes and putting out fires.
Yeah.
Then that'll be the time that I'll switch gears and say, okay, now I'm going to go through here and go line by line and look at everything and get it ready to, because that it's not even going to be the same repository. I'll create a new repository and begin to manually move code over mm-hmm. to that repository. So that it's too big of a project right now.
Right.
And I just can't do it.
And, again, reiterating, this is a community project. Yeah. We funded out of our pocket initially, and now immediately I need to thank everybody who has helped us. You know, the mantra of value for value is time, talent, treasure. We need to track this because I really want to thank people. And
I've got a list.
Oh, thank you. Gosh.
And I knew you would do it,
Dave. I was afraid to ask, but I'm like, I'm just too strapped for it. And so let's do that right now. Let's thank people for the supporting everything.
Yeah. I'm just going to go through here, and I went through and wrote everybody down. It's,
you have their amounts as well.
I've got it all. Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Martin, and I hope I don't butcher names too bad, but Martin Moritzen. Is that how you would say that?
Yeah, I think isn't that Martin Podfriend, Martin?
Yeah, Podfriend. Yeah. Oh,
gosh.
Yeah, Martin gave us a $100 donation, yesterday from Podfriend. He's also on podcast index.social. Scott Jalbert or Halbert, I'm not sure with the J. He gave us a 50, see, double nickels on the dime, 5510 single donation. Let's see, he had a note.
Here. My gosh, Dave, can I just make a comment?
What?
You're a natural podcaster, man. You're a natural born podcaster. Look at you. Hold on, let me get my note here. All right,
I got everybody. The terrible room noise and everything. I'm a perfect podcaster.
You're right there, brother.
Okay, Scott Jalbert. I'm sorry, Scott, if that's not your last name. Hey, guys, I want to thank you for creating podcastindex.org. As a proponent of freedom, I believe this is an important project. As I look around and see parts of podcasting getting picked up and privatized, I agree once that happens and money is involved, the leverage is in place to censure and remove perceived offenders, as we have seen time and again. Like most good infrastructure, it will slowly fade into the background, so the short-term donations will fade out, as was mentioned in the latest podcast. The only way I see this working is some partnership, maybe with players or CDNs, or use the service. Are you putting yourself on the market, waiting for something to swipe you with the right partner? That goes into kind of right into what you were talking about just a second ago.
Yeah.
He says, if you're doing jingles, I'd love to hear just send your cash.
Okay, hold on a second.
I don't know if that's appropriate, but...
I think it's actually super appropriate. Let's see.
Okay.
Here we go.
I know a lot of people want to send blankets or water. Just send your cash.
No, we're crouching on sacred territory there.
Yeah, it was perfect.
Thanks, Scott. I appreciate it. And Larry Hay, he says that he is Sir Hay Moose.
Oh, yes. From Sir Hay Moose, yeah.
Yeah, Larry Hay sent $50 and said we can read his note. He said, listening to PI 2.0 episode 4, I realized as I do not offer any dev or hosting skills, I do have a side gig that pays me enough walk around money to assist in this effort for at least $50 a month moving forward.
That's really cool, man. That's it. Time, talent, treasure. It's those three. It's that simple. And whatever it's worth to you. And we love that. Thank you. And that's appreciated.
He says, am I a dev? No. Can I listen and share? Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Can I beta test and rev 0.99 or 1.0 software? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Can I listen and learn? Yes.
Okay.
I have been in infrastructure for 30 years. I understand the nerd speak and have been director of network infrastructure for 2 years now at a $1.5 billion global retail grocer.
Wow.
That's big.
Yeah. No kidding.
I am donating this financial support because, as I may not understand everything, I do understand that infrastructure is not free.
Oh.
I am proud to be able to enter at the ground level for supporting your efforts and hope someday we will all have our names on a placard on Mars for keeping free speech free. A mere corporate silencing of a single voice in the name of anti-fascism or political correctness is one too many. I'm proud to be part of something so important and look forward to seeing it mature into something far greater than any of us can imagine. My kids are young and won't appreciate what you're doing here until possibly well after I'm gone, but it is well worth the investment. He says, Adam, I was joking about the grandfather bombshell email. Hope you forgive me. I don't know what that means.
It's all good.
He said, read it. So I read it.
That's very nice. That's very, very kind. I like that. Thank you, Larry. Really like hearing that.
I have no name here. It's just a email address. CS Bowden, $25, a single donation. Thank you. Droid Works LLC. Do you know what that is?
No idea. Okay,
Droid Works LLC is a $20 a month subscription.
Oh, great. Thank you.
And
that's like 10% of our, almost of our monthly servers.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna name.
You're gonna name the servers?
I'm gonna name the web server after DroidWorks. It's nice. DroidWorks LLC.
This is great. You can sponsor a server.
You sponsor a server with a monthly donation, and I mean, like, if you come in afterwards with like a dollar more, you just get bumped. You know? The other guy gets thrown to the curb.
I love these levels. That's great. Okay, so server names.
Jonathan Stutter or Studer, $15 a monthly subscription.
Nice.
Let's see. We can give him an aggregator. That'd be good. You get aggregator 3.
Okay.
Jason Miller.
Are you actually going to rename him?
Yeah. Now I'm going to put a screenshot out.
Dave, I love it. That's good. That's very good.
Jason Miller, $10 single one-time donation. None of these guys sent notes that I can find. Terry Keller, a 4.11 subscription. I guess it means like info.
Yeah, 411. Yeah.
411. Okay.
Yeah.
Our cheapest server is $5 for the beta WWW server. So you didn't, okay. I'm sorry, you don't get a server, Terry.
You just missed the server level.
Yeah. Alex Gates, $10 a month subscription. Alex, you're going to get aggregator 2.
Fantastic.
And Aaron Reno, I know that name and I don't know how I know
it. How do you spell the last name?
Renow.
I know. I don't know.
It sounds so familiar, but I don't know why. But anyway, $5 a month subscription.
Thank you.
And you'll get the back. We don't have another server, so you get a backup.
Okay.
you're gonna get the backup. So that's it. That's who's donated in the last couple of weeks.
Well, thank you all so much. And if anyone wants to jump in and help, there's so many different ways to do it. api.podcastindex.org. If you haven't signed up as a dev, you can also sign up. No agenda social. Podcastindex.social. And we have a donate button at podcastindex.org. I think it's also on the dev site, which I learned, you know, my wife, Tina, is a marketing professional. And I said, now, Donna, would you please? Yes, of course, I'm going to review this. You can't have this go out without my approval. So
nice.
She's really smart. She catches typos like a crazy person, too. And
I'm so bad about that.
Oh, yeah, me too. Although if I'm reviewing someone else's work, it's much easier. That's actually the way it works.
Fresh eyeballs.
Yeah. And she said, can you make the donation button red? I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I said, I think it's kind of, I wonder, is that a PayPal standard? And I look at the button like, nah, that looks like that was made that way. I said, no, I don't know. She said, red. It's like every nonprofit knows this. So we're not really a nonprofit. Bigger and redder. Yeah, red. And so, well, but red is our color, so we might as well. We got our logo. Well,
I wonder what the magic is with red. That's weird.
And
it's like them when you're selling your house, they tell you to paint your door like yellow. It's like evidently the magic.
That to is sell your house. So interesting because we were looking for a house in Austin, and this Tina had seen this one online or whatever, and it had a yellow door, and she said, "Oh God, that house, that's." Ugh. And I also I was repelled by it, but I decided one day, let me just go take a look. And it really, it ticked all the boxes, but it had this horrible yellow door. So, you know, we sat down with the builder, like, hey, you want to, let's negotiate. we said, well, we need to get rid of the door. It has to be painted a different color. And it's a father-son, Drew Holmes in Dallas. And the father says to the son, you see, I told you it was a dumb idea. Because apparently they've been trying to sell the place, and they put the yellow door on as like, this'll sell it for sure.
Yeah, it's
like,
bait.
We're like, that's the worst. It was such a detractor. We almost didn't even come and view it.
Because of the door.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing everybody's like, yellow door, instant sell. No, like, no, gross.
Yeah, it did not work with us. That was really funny. Yes, the donation button for support, for supporting the index. Have a server named after you. This is a great promotion. I love this. This is so fun. And you know who's going to laugh her ass off? It's Tina. She's going to laugh when I tell her this. We came up with a level. You're sponsoring a server.
Yes. Sorry. You may get a backup. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there'll be more aggregators and stuff in our life, in our future.
Yeah.
Okay. So, so much for the PR part of the show. Gosh, tell me, how was the rest of your week, Dave? It's been crazy.
Yes, it's been busy. I had a little bit of a code disaster, and I don't think that anybody noticed it much. Although I did, somebody did make a pull request on the documentation repo today to fix something I think was related. But here's just a word to the wise. Do not keep your code, no matter how attractive this may sound, do not keep your code in a folder tied to a sync service like Dropbox or sync.com or something like that.
Good way for something to get deleted.
So I use sync.com, and I have for a long time, and just to keep, so I can work on multiple machines, and I have no idea what happened, but It didn't lose anything, but it just started creating, you know how Dropbox or OneDrive does, where it'll create those conflict files. And it just started creating that crap all over the place. And it took me probably a day to dig out and figure out what the pattern was. So I think I got everything put back together. I mean, it wasn't like it was awful, but it mostly affected the documentation repo and a little bit of the main API stuff. But I think I've dug out of the hole right now, but man, it was a brain twister.
So you had to rebuild stuff?
No, I didn't have to rebuild anything. I just basically had to take it. I had to figure out what files that it affected and take, then figure out what it had done. Like when it renamed to a conflict file, was it renaming the old one or the new one?
Oh, brother.
Oh, it was such a pain in the butt.
That's horrible.
But anyway, I think I dug out of that hole. But most of the code work, this week has been back in the parser. I've been fighting some SQL issues with the recent episodes call, and that's a really important call. A lot of people use that, and so I'm trying to go very slow and try to make sure that I'm putting all the filtering into it, so you can filter by language and categories and all that jazz. And I'm having to go really slow and make sure that call is rock solid, because that's one of the things that people use the most of.
It's a fun call.
Yeah.
It's really fun, because I see people doing a lot of calls with particularly language. Mm-hmm. See a lot of
it's
stuff
gonna
going
so
on.
It's
going
to be so much better, and it's going to be so much better when all the filtering is put in. But there's just some issues with the table design, I believe, that's causing, if I put a lower boundary on the time, then the call is very quick. If I don't, on the published date for the item, if I don't sort of put a sane starting limit, it wants to do a full table scan, and I still have not figured out.
That could
be like a 5 minute.
Yeah, API that's call, no which good. Is, that's is, no, no good.
That's not possible.
No.
So I'm still kind of it's a big, complicated SQL statement. But I'm trying to avoid things like subselects and that subsequels and that kind of stuff. So I'm just kind of been going around about with that. But the other work has been mainly in the parser again, where I think it was Todd from Blueberry.
Yeah.
He piped into the Mastodon and said that one of his engineers noticed that when he submitted to the feed, it's submitted a new feed that if you put in a query string at the end of the URL, it did not get flagged as a duplicate.
Yes. Yeah, I saw that thread, but something happens later, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. And so that's worth talking about for a minute if we're going to do some techie stuff. Mm-hmm. Because, like, the way that the system works is that when you submit a feed, it tries to do everything possible not to be slow or block. And so one of the things that here's what you would like. Let me rephrase this. What you would want to happen is when somebody submits a feed URL is at the moment they submit it, you would want to go through and do a whole bunch of checks. You'd want to say, you'd want to check and make sure the URL is sane, make sure it doesn't produce a 404 mm-hmm. or something like that. When you try to pull it, you would want to parse it out and make sure that the XML is not broken, make sure that it has MP3s in it instead or enclosures in it, and it's not just some random RSS feed. You'd want to go through and do a whole lot of that kind of thing, but you can't really do that and make the call fast because you're going to block while you're sitting there waiting on the server to pull the feed and do all these crazy checks.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we just take the feed. It's like whatever we have permissions levels for the read write keys and publisher keys. So we say, okay, we've trusted you enough to give you this key because we've sort of vetted you, so to speak. We trust you enough to give you a read write key. So we're just going to trust that you're not going to intentionally give us crap.
Right.
So we say, we'll just take the feed. And then a process comes along later and pulls it as part of the normal puller and then the parser and all this stuff. It just happens in the normal flow. But one thing that I've never been satisfied with is what I'm trying to say is the duplication checks and all that jazz come later.
Yeah. But, and do we place a flag if it's a dupe so that the person who submitted through the API can check?
It's not exposed.
Okay.
And that's the part of the problem that's what I don't like.
Okay.
And there's a field in the feeds added table where it says duplicate of. And so it just links over to the ID that it thinks it's a duplicate of. Mm-hmm. But it's only checking on a hash of the raw content of the feed, which is a problem.
Because it could just be a literal copy.
Yeah, it only picks up as a literal copy. And this is now when I say duplicate, this is not trying to detect fraud feeds. These are just pure accidental duplications.
Mm-hmm.
So it just pulls a copy of the feed and looks to see if anything else matches the hash.
Right.
And if it does, it flags it. But there's a lot of feeds, like we've talked about before, that auto refresh their pub date and last build date every time you refresh. Right,
which would give you a different MD5 or a hash. Exactly. Any checksum. There you go.
Exactly. Yeah, give you a different hash value every time, which is no good.
Right.
But so some of this stuff was in place. It's like we need to put something out there.
Can't you do a freeze? Can't you do a freeze snapshot? No, I guess that doesn't work if it changes. No, okay. Forget. Don't ask me about any technical stuff. I need to shut up.
So what I came up with, and I'll just see. There's a, I guess, note, man. Mm-hmm. What I came up with is there's two hashes. One hash is the raw hash, which determines whether or not the feed gets pulled. And there's another hash, which is just a subset of the content that is probably going to be stable. And that is, the way it's working now is it's like a concatenation of a bunch of different values, the title of the feed, the description, the generator, a few different other text values. And then it's also the last 15 characters of every enclosure element URL within the feed of the first 20 items.
Uh-huh.
So it pulls the first 20 items, gets the last 15 characters out of each, and then puts it together in one big long string, adds it to those other text values like the title and such, and then hashes that. So we say, well, this value is probably going to be as stable as you could get, because you're going to have the title, the description, all that stuff that rarely changes.
Right.
And if you happen to hit it between episodes every now and then it will it'll pick it up again on the next run.
Ah,
so okay. You're not penalized too
bad. Not right away. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the way this is going to happen is it's going to be running. The existing one is running now on one of the aggregators, but this is going to run on its own small server and along with some other things.
Donate now to have your name on this server.
On the dupe checker.
Yeah. Oh, that's an expensive one. That's an important piece of machinery there.
Yeah, that's $5 a month.
Dupe checker.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what I've been working on. So it required adding some extra columns to the newsfeed table now, and that kind of thing.
Did I see a lot of some discussion about fraud feeds? And at least there was something, I think, the beginning of the week that was going back and forth, and I kind of lost track of that one.
Yeah, the account Sphinx_chat.
Yeah, yeah.
In the podcast index, did you look at that and see the video that they sent? I don't know if it's a girl or a boy, but what they sent?
No, I didn't see it.
Yeah, they posted, you should go check that out, because they posted this thing that they put together where they're basically calling, they're looking at the recent feeds, recently added feeds API. And whenever they take the feed.
Okay, hold on. So like, can I play this? Is it worth listening to the audio, or is it just the visual
stuff? Is there audio? I don't know if there's audio.
Oh, let me see.
I think it may be video only.
It was the YouTube video?
Database.
No, that's database. Not it. That's a link of me. Oh boy, that was scary. Oh, this stack. Here we go.
Yeah.
We're catching fraudulent feeds.
So they just put, they're doing it with like human intelligence. They're just showing you the fraud feeds, and then they make another call. They look at the new feeds, then make another call afterwards to the search on the database. And try to find something that has similar naming, and then they show them all, and you just manually tap it to say, yeah, we think this is fraud.
But check this out. No, look at this. I'll just read it. This is fascinating.
Yeah.
We created a proof of concept for catching fraudulent feeds. We make an API call to recents 1 time a day. Then for each new feed, we call search. We show up to the top 10 results. We show up to the top 10 results to a human. If they find a duplicate, we can flag that ID for further review. The human task worker gets a few cents of Bitcoin for their time. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes to that. How do we integrate this? How do we integrate this?
I'm not sure. She said that they were going to leave it running for about a week just to see if they just see how it worked. And
what a great, oh my God, yeah. See, this is the stuff, man. This is it. I love this.
Because I was thinking like, we need to give API endpoints for AI and all this kind of stuff. And they're like, well, no, we can just do this. I'm like, well, why didn't I think about that? That's cool.
Fantastic. And it's interesting. And I just asked the question. I ran into Sphinx chat.
Really?
In some of my research, people pitching me ideas about payments and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think they're the ones that did this, that did like a chat. It was a pretty impressive little demo. I have to delve into that some more. I've been too busy whoring out our project. Yeah, I want to get back into this. I don't want to be doing this all day.
I know. Yeah, I know they have, they definitely do some crypto stuff and distributed and decentralized. I mean, they're definitely all in on that camp. And so
cool.
Yeah, that kind of stuff can be like, I'm really excited to see if this works.
Oh my God.
And I'd love to make that
super cool.
Something that sticks, you know?
Well, I definitely, oh my gosh, my head is spinning. It's so cool when I think about this stuff. Okay, good. Excellent. So that's
just using existing API calls, and they're like, super simple, but it's sort of like the Mechanical Turk mechanism.
Right, right, right. I think they've made some other distributed app examples that I've seen. Yeah, okay. I'm going to reach out to them.
Okay, yeah, that'd be cool.
I mean, beyond just the Mastodon, just let me talk to a human. I'm old school that way.
No, yeah, totally.
Something else that popped up, the pub sub, and it was an interesting question for me personally. I forget who posed it, saying, oh, I wish that Adam could trigger the pub sub so that it would aggregate immediately and it would show up in the most recent feed. And to me, that was like, hell, is there a button I can push? Is there something I can do? That's kind of fun. Yeah. I have a whole routine after I publish a show anyway. You know, I'm doing something to Twitter, and now we've made it much easier with the Freedom Controller, but that would be my obvious question. Can you put a call into the Freedom Controller just like I click Twitter, I click Mastodon, and now I click PubSub or the index?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We can totally put that in there. I mean, you could do it now just manually with a bookmark in your browser tab. In your browser book.
You say that, Dave Jones, but yeah, you're gonna have to give me some code and show me what to do.
Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, no, that's dead simple. I mean, you're a dev, you've got keys, and so you could trigger it anytime you want.
I got keys. That jingle jangle jungle. Yes, I'm that guy. I'm hall monitor. I got keys. Hall monitor. Big keychain.
Safety right. Patrol.
Yeah, that's right. Watch out, devs.
do you remember? Gosh, this has been forever ago. I think it was Daily Source Code. Do you remember how you used to do the thing where you'd get like the first like 6 seconds of a song and you would like name it?
Oh, Yum Paulette Snipper Hit.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Every time you start singing a little ditty, I always reminds me of that.
I love that because what do we call it? The hit test. I think we call it the hit.
Yeah, that's it.
Yum Paulette, who I kind of lost touch with him. He's blind or legally blind, so he had this really uncanny knack for identifying stuff with sound, and he started doing this little game where he'd have a little quick. He'd send me two files. One with this intro, and he had a whole, wow, everybody, it's just Yum Paulette here with Adam Curry's Hit Test. And it put like a little snippet of a song, and then I would have to guess what it was. Now, if it's anything within the 80s, well, actually, 60s, 70s, 80s, and half of the 90s, I can definitely get it.
And then you were all over it. I never heard you miss one.
then he had the payoff where he would, so I would never listen to that. In fact, I didn't listen to either one. I'd just do it live and just grab it. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, good times.
That's a long time ago.
Good times.
Let's see. Yeah. So the other thing, what do we want to do? Tech stuff? Or we want to talk about some other stuff?
You want to talk about. Yes, please. Tell us what you want to talk about. Tech stuff is good.
The other thing that I was really thinking about this or looking at this week was how to get rid of old items. And that's probably not even the right way to describe it. So PhoneBoy in the Mastodon said, I deleted an item out of my feed and it's still there. And
oh yeah. Okay. This is, yeah, that's
still in the index. And this goes back to another issue that we've been talking about is I'm trying to find the right way to word it actually, because it's not just a matter of rolling off items that are no longer in the feed. It's sort of a bigger question about, do you take items away? Well, let me come at this from a different angle. The New York Times. I don't know if you followed that story with their caliphate.
No. What's going on?
You haven't? Okay. So their podcast, they have a podcast called Caliphate. Yeah.
Hi, okay. Everybody. It's the Nazi podcast. All right. Caliphate. Yeah.
so you haven't heard any of this?
No, I don't. I have no idea what's going on.
Okay. To get a sense of what it is, play clip one, New York Times Caliphate.
The blood was it was warm. And it sprayed everywhere. And the guy was crying and screaming. He did not die after the first time. The second time or so, he probably just flunched over. That was...
How hard is it to put a knife into somebody?
It's hard. I had to stab him multiple times.
Oh.
So, and then We put him up on a cross, and I had to leave the dagger in his heart. And then there was a sign that said, it had a code on it, and like 166, drugs and alcohol type offense.
All right, you can stop it now.
Okay.
So this is a podcast about this guy who's Canadian, who supposedly left and went over to Syria to join the jihad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, he got, and this is like a 10-part series from New York Times. He got arrested last week, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes out the whole thing was fraud. The whole thing was made up. None of it ever happened. And so then.
Now, was the whole podcast was fraud, or just this guy's story was fraud?
This guy's story was fraud, but the whole podcast is based on this guy's story.
Well, it's a problem. Yeah, I can see the issue.
And so evidently the Canadian Royal Mounted Police arrested this guy because they were like, this is scary. Nobody wants it, like a terrorist living right next to him. And so they arrest this guy, start digging into it, and it turns out it's all fake. None of this stuff ever happened. And so then the New York Times says, and I was reading this in a Matt Taibbi article, he said that the New York Times basically said, well, we were just saying that we were exploring the topic. It wasn't, we never certified that it was actually true.
Like the rest of their publication.
Yeah. And, so he says, he came to them, and they were just saying his story, that they never claimed that it was true, that it always was possible that it had an element of fiction.
Okay.
Essentially playing it off like they were like, look, this is just good story.
It's just a podcast, man.
It's okay. That's what I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
You've always said that there's this element of podcasting where people sort of let their guard down and mm-hmm. think that anything goes.
Yep.
Okay. That ties back into the getting rid of stuff that's not there. Now they left this up. They've doubled down on it. They said, we stand by this podcast as a storytelling device or
right.
whatever.
Right. It's a total work of fiction.
Yeah, exactly. And even though you can, you know, listening to that clip, nobody thinks that that sounds like a work of fiction. But
no, it sounded quite real.
But what if they did take it down? That makes me wonder, just because they take the episodes offline, should we? Because, I mean, this happens sometimes in the Freedom Controller.
Aha, I gotcha.
You'll have this happens actually quite often, is I'll see something pop up in my feed, and then like maybe three or four items up the line, I'll see what looks like the same headline. Right. And it was because they posted something to their RSS feed and then made a correction to it and and fixed it. And the Freedom Controller picked it up as two separate items.
Yeah, this is the GUID issue, and it's very, very tricky stuff.
And you'll see it a lot of times, because what happens is you click on the title to go to it, and the link is 404'd.
Right.
And there have been times, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but there's been a handful of times where I've seen something in the river, and I've thought, whoa, that's actually a big deal. And I click on
and
it.
And it's gone.
And it's gone.
But you have the aggregated copy in the aggregator.
Yes. And it never shows back up. And I'm so glad at those times that I have that.
Well, that's actually how a lot of things are, how people, I mean, they used to catch a lot of that back in the Google Reader days,
mm-hmm.
when RSS reading was still a thing. And remember, we let it get centralized and we all fell in love with it. And then they blew it up. Remember that, people?
Yep.
It's a lesson. Yeah, there would be, oh, look, the New York, and in fact, there's a couple of Twitter bots out there who are, continuously checking the New York Times, and it shows changes over time to a story as they're made. So you can get, and so they're just trolling it all day long. I'm not quite sure how they, uh, how they, you know, how they know when to check for a change. Same with Wikipedia, essentially. I mean, there's a lot of that going on, but I think your question is, what do we do? What does index do?
Exactly. There's this technical question of, you can't keep everything forever.
Here's how I think it should go.
Okay.
Because, here's my experience, this will be a jumping off point. So first of all, I've had many times in my life the issue of, oh crap, I screwed that up. I've got to go in, I've got to fix the RSS feed. Now, I don't have to tell you what happens when our RSS feed goes up. I mean, the amount of bandwidth and connections is just, it's quite absurd. And the amount of data we're pushing. So usually it's like I mess something up, I screw the title up, I need to fix it so it shows up properly in people's apps. Changing that, if I do it quickly, then I can, you know, change the GUID, which will then hopefully make most apps realize, this is a change, and it just reflects that change. But it will show it as new, and in the worst case scenario, which happens with a lot of apps, there's another download, which may not seem like a big deal, and it's not to me from a statistical standpoint. I don't need to know the numbers, but it's really a waste of resources. When you're telling everybody, and here is that 150 megabyte file, go ahead, download it again. It's just a stupid waste of resources on both sides, by the way. It gets trickier. This is a very actual problem. Amidst all of Dave's week, I also threw out there, hey, man, well, actually, this happened a couple of weeks ago. We talked about it on the show. My AWS bill, where I was hosting show notes and images, basically, for the show notes and assets, you know, it was up to, like, what was it, $1,300, $1,400 a month? It was out of control.
No, it was higher than that. No, it was like 17.
Yeah, it was growing out of control. And we were just busy, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, I didn't want to bug Dave, but, of course, he found out. And then you immediately started to change stuff, and then we decided on we don't have to go through the whole setup, but basically, thank you, Cloudflare, but we set up a whole bunch of things and rejiggered things, and so the URL changed, and anyone who's been testing our index and has looked at No Agenda, like, the images are broken, they're gone, whatever. Even though I had changed them in the RSS feed, it really, that never refreshes for most podcast apps, even if you change the GUID. But then again, you know, I try to keep 10 or 15 episodes in our feed, not too much, because you have no idea how inefficient polling is. I mean, it's really inefficient. And, you know, we can't be serving up megabytes of time every single time someone wants to look at the whole feed, which happens a lot more than you'd think. Mm-hmm. So the way I would prefer it to be, whatever system, and I think it's a more universal problem of people implementing it, I just want a mirror of my feed in the system.
Okay.
I think it's great if you catch something, but if you delete it, it's just a wasted resource. And go to archive.org. I don't think that's the core business of the index. I'm not stating any policy. I'm just thinking out loud. It seems like we're just there to help you with whatever's there. If people, you know, because I can just see people like, oh, I want that. I don't want to. We can't deal with that. If we should replicate the feed. I think that's the easiest way. The owner of the feed determines what they expose in the database. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think it's fair, because there's kind of two questions. There's the philosophical question, which you're kind of going both technical and philosophical, but there's kind of that philosophical question of, you know, if somebody deletes something out of their feed, they don't want it. They've determined it's not valuable.
Right.
Or they don't want it there, and you want to honor that. And so, but then there's the other question of, just a purely technical question, where it's like, we can't keep everything. And you also want to be, you know, this is the funny thing is, you know, deleting things out of a database is expensive too.
Yeah. It's not free.
Yeah. Especially at the scale of, you know, 1.5 million feeds. Cause you're talking about, you know, there's, you know, 40 million episodes listed in the index now. And so if you start potentially hundreds and hundreds of database calls, you know, every couple of minutes to delete old stuff.
Right.
So it has to be done in sort of like a methodical way where you're not just hammering the database and trying to clean up after itself every second.
Right.
And so, you know, I think what I've settled on is one of the fields I added this week was, there's always been a field called newest item pub date, mm-hmm. which is just the, you know, the most latest item timestamp. And then now there's an oldest item pub date. I think that, and that gets populated when it's parsed. And then I think the way that I'm going to do it is just anything older than that in the database, there's going to be a cron job that just, that all it does is just walks through the database all the time, just cleans up
right,
old stuff.
Right.
Now that if you delete that, what that means in practice is if you delete an item out of your feed, it's not necessarily going to disappear on the next aggregator run.
Right. Could take a while,
but it will eventually.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's about the best sort of balancing.
Yeah, I like it. And I think that there's a lot of validity to someone making an archive of everything if you feel like it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. There's nothing, I have nothing against that, but you know, you're right. Eventually it gets expensive just to have everything.
Expensive in terms of money and in terms of just performance.
Yeah. And you know, the index's mission is just to serve on demand. So I think we see eye to eye then on that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that makes sense. If anybody has a better idea, we've thrown this around in the Mastodon a few times about sort of the best strategy for deleting, kind of cleaning up after a feed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of what I've settled on. But if anybody else has better ideas, I'll wait a little while before I implement it. Because right now we're not doing any cleanup. If it's in the I wasn't happy with what we were doing before because it was hitting the database too hard. So I kind of just turned it off. So we're just accumulating stuff right now, which is not a big deal. I mean, it would take a while before it became a problem, but I would like to get something in place within the next couple of weeks.
What else?
Michelle Obama, they opened her podcast up.
Yeah, this was very interesting. And I had heard from a reliable source that there were definitely issues with the audience size. Her deal was before Joe, I think. And so, you know, I checked out the podcast and I've listened a couple times, and I'll just start by saying it's a very unimpressive product. It's not necessarily, I'm not quite sure who it's for. It feels very in crowd. I think she lacks an element when she doesn't have Barack. You know, or it's not surrounding the political Obamas. Mm-hmm. So I can understand. It's possible that it's just not a draw. But when you're Spotify, the idea is that you can deliver the audience, and if you can't deliver it on, and I have to say that this podcast, it's not known what the deal was. The Obamas have higher ground productions, you know, they have a deal with Netflix, a deal with Spotify, which is, I'm sure, mainly based on name, but there's deliverables. And they sold the Michelle Obama podcast to their launch sponsor, which I believe is Procter & Gamble, specifically Dawn and Tide as the two products. And I know enough about the advertising business because I've been in it and I created a lot of the online advertising business, or was a part of the creation of it, they don't really even care that much about the content or any of that. It's just, hey, you do have to get our message as many times as you promised in front of the audience we anticipate to show up. And if they can't do it, then it's a problem with their audience management system. So their recommendations, or however they intend to get people to shuttle people over there, so they at least catch two ads before the podcast starts, and then, you know, then almost that. And I know they're going to do mid rolls as well.
They are.
Oh yeah, they're going to do. Oh yeah, they're going to do mid rolls.
Play clip two, Michelle Obama.
Oh, ooh, hold on a second. And by the way, I really appreciate that you show up with clips. Yeah. That's very nice. Okay, here she is.
This episode of the Michelle Obama podcast is brought to you by Salesforce.
Yeah. But so, see, now that's a misplaced ad in my book.
That ran at the beginning. Like they had the intro, then they did, by the way, it's a very boring podcast.
Yeah, I told you it's unimpressive. It's not really great.
Even listening to it to get these ad clips was painful, but they did that at the beginning. And then they did a mid roll halfway through where it's a little sort of like an extended spot for ads for Salesforce.
Oh no.
Yeah. So it's double Salesforce, one at the beginning and a longer one in the middle. So they go to sort of like a let's take a break.
Yeah. Deal, and then they do that. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it's like a minute long and then they come back.
So the announcement came out today, I think. And the announcement was, oh, we're going to launch it on other platforms, which by the way, very interesting terminology. So they're now a platform. So just so we all understand. They've taken core podcasting and they're calling it their platform, which is okay, but I just want us all to recognize it. And what was mentioned in the press release was iHeart, Stitcher, all these other platforms, which are, they're coming to take you away now.
No, it's all day long.
And those, as far as I know, are also closed. You need to submit platforms. But it also showed up in the index. So
pretty quick.
Yeah. So it's everywhere. And this is a seminal moment. I'm watching it very closely. If they can't take a name like Michelle Obama and fulfill on their commitment for the ads that were promised, they have a much bigger problem than they think. And you'll see, it turns out that podcasting is kind of pretty big outside of the silos. Yeah. Kind of pretty big. It's going to be very interesting to watch how this unfolds.
Tell me if this sort of hunch or understanding it jives with what you think. Is they made the commitments for the ads.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, they couldn't fulfill the audience commitment. Maybe that now James Cridlin said that it was hard to make this jive with the numbers they released earlier.
Well, it wasn't really numbers. They said, hey, here's the top 10. Oh, it's millions. Yeah, Michelle's number one. Yeah, that's how you do it.
Okay.
They lie. Of course they lie. Did they show the numbers? Did they actually have a log to look at? No, of course not. They lie. And that's what you do. That's how you promote. You lie.
So you can't fulfill the numbers, and then you say, okay, well, if I can't fulfill the numbers, let's open it up and then sell ads the traditional way.
This is where it gets interesting.
Okay.
I certainly believe that they have the mechanism, they have the ad network, you know, they've shown off all this wookie-dookie technology where they did this back in January, where they can target exactly the right, because they know a lot about you, so they can target you completely down to whatever it is. They may just have to continue the ad business and open in a weird, perverted way. It would be a huge defeat, but it's very possible that they just can't get the numbers with Rogan without it being opened, and they may just have to open that back up. If Spotify had, from the beginning, had said, hey, we're the ad-making guys. You come over here. We'll shove ads everywhere up your butt, in the front, in the middle, and wherever you want one. And we'll give you a piece of the action. And we can do a lot of great stuff if we get people over here. And we'd like, you know, maybe you say, hey, promote only Spotify as the podcast app. But, you know, the other people are just as valid. There's lots of... Once you have a sample of the Spotify audience, you can... It would be worth less. So let's say if you got a $50 CPM, so for every 1,000 listens, you got $50 on Spotify, maybe something that was listened to off of Spotify would be worth $30. Because, you know, you're going to be reasonably in the target demo or whatever.
Okay.
They could become a great advertising company. If they'd started like that, I would have been like, oh, yeah. And it's not abnormal for that kind of operation to buy content and control the advertising and possibly the content itself, because that's ultimately always what happens.
Wasn't she one of their first exclusives? I mean,
yes, she was. I think she was. She was one.
She may have been the first.
Probably.
Because I remember it popped up all, you know, I opened up Spotify one day and it popped up all over the place. Please listen to this show.
But you know, there's things in the industry, and this has been going around for a long time, this information. And it got kind of more confirmed for me recently before this came out. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Didn't think much of it, but I never considered they would have to open it up. And by the way, happy to have you, Michelle. Welcome to podcastindex.org. Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, you know, and I hope you have ads, and if people want to listen to them, that's great. It's no problem. This could be a great moment. If Spotify, they should really consider what they're doing, man, because they have everything you need. They could they could be everybody's friend. It would be fantastic.
Do you think that would be? I mean, I see that if they just basically declare, well, I mean, they won't declare failure, but if they just say, you know, basically if they say this is not working, we're just going to open everything up and do traditional ad sales, and then they just let their RSS feeds out into the public again. What does that say for the rest of the rest of the players out there that are attempting silos?
Well, we're going to have a very interesting reversal of fortune now, aren't we?
Yeah.
Now it's not for the index. Okay. Can I go a little theremin on you? I won't actually play the theremin, but.
Please. I've got my own siren right here that's going in the background.
You do. A lot of things are changing because of the coronavirus, the shutdown, the lockdown, the communication. Just a lot of things are changing. In media, I believe celebrities are in trouble. They have become annoying pieces of crap who are spoiled, and you know, people have turned on many of them. Like, you're yammering in your mansion, shut up. You know, people get caught going out, not playing by the same rules. We've seen entire television legacies like The Tonight Show completely fall apart. And the most noticeable is audience-based programming. NFL, NBA, Academy of Country Music Awards, Emmy Awards. Ratings never this low, in the toilet, even though everybody's apparently, you know, hypothetically is home and ready for great sports, etc. But it turns out when you remove the fans, I can speak for the Emmy Awards, you remove the fans and the red carpet, and with that comes the fashion industry and the gossip industry and the paparazzi. When you remove all that, it's just a shell of a bunch of Hollywood douchebags who are congratulating each other. And you're missing the audience. I have a feeling that if not all, there is a moment in time where we can say, hey, NFL, or hey, NBA, maybe even better, you should pay us to sit there. We're a big part of your system. You lose money if we don't show up and come to your game and we dance like monkey boys and girls. Maybe we need to reevaluate our relationship with some of these companies. So if Spotify has issue and they need to distribute their podcasts on the open system, I think that it's entirely possible that very popular apps that can, you know, that's provable to a degree, could say, sure, but I need a piece of the action.
Oh, it's going to reverse the flow. It would reverse.
Why not?
Well, so like an app. Let's just say an app. Well, okay, take Blueberry. Blueberry could do a deal with Spotify where they're like, where they feature some of Spotify's now open content.
Yep.
And not silo it, but just feature it.
Yep, just featuring.
And then
voila.
Then they get a cut.
Sure.
Is that possible? Sure.
Yes, of course it is. You're a media outlet. Absolutely. If it turns out they need it, oh my goodness. Happy days are here again. Sure.
Now, how much of this is just pure not good content? Because I tried to listen to it, and I got about halfway through it, and the Michelle Obama podcast. I was trying to find ISOs because I wanted to celebrate this, and it was like impossible to find even a decent ISO in this thing. And I would love to see the numbers where somebody, they said, okay, we had 5 million listens, let's just say. And I would love to see the number breakdown of how many of those 5 million started listening to the podcast and turned it off after like 10 minutes.
Right. Well, that is also an interesting number. And the way I see it shaking out is you are going to be forced to listen to the pre-rolls. Everyone will listen to it because you can't fast forward it on Spotify. So you're going to, so those are guaranteed. You're going to get the right person showing up. They're going to listen to two ads. And if they bail, they bail. Who cares? If they make it to the mid-roll, because that's why it's a mid-roll, that'll be, and the mid-roll will be cheaper. But that's a really good indicator. The average view time for Joe Rogan, 45 minutes. That's very long in the industry.
That does seem long. And I don't know. I'm not some kind of, I don't know as much as y'all do, but like that does seem long.
Yeah. So it's hard to say, I recently participated as on a panel of judges for Dutch Podcast Awards. And I said, this really makes no sense. We really can't have an awards for this. And I just want that to be noted. This, you can't have an award anymore. And there's so many categories their entire sections that, entire things that no one will know about. It's just, it makes no sense. But it came, the reason I say this, there was a long conversation about two podcasts, and one was slick and produced a little yuck, but really nice. And they were self-funding and they had a whole bunch of great stuff. And the other one was two guys, it was called, it's Dutch, it's called Gewoon Homo, Just Gay. And it was two guys kind of talking like Mo and I do, Mo Fax, about being gay and life being gay. Uh-huh. And it was really crappy quality. It was like they had face masks on. We're talking through the face mask. But the content was so good and so compelling. So what is a good podcast? Does it have to also sound good? Does it have to have a celebrity? Does it have, I don't know.
How do you judge that?
Well, you can't. I will never do that again. You can't. And I think podcast awards need to come up with a different idea. I love an industry group that stimulates the industry and that where people can connect and meet and do stuff. But that's about it. I mean, awards is really kind of an elitist thing that just really shouldn't exist anymore, I don't think. It's very limited.
Maybe the podcast index doesn't do awards. Maybe we do have votes. Maybe we have a way to pay for people to vote with stuff on the index.
I just got an email and I sent him over to I gave him the URLs. Let me just see if I can find this. This is from James Potter, I think. Is he on in the index? I've been following the podcast index pretty closely. Do you have any plans to collect or aggregate ratings reviews as part of the index? I have a huge database of these spanning all podcasts and multiple apps. Let me know if I can be helpful somehow. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, hook in. That's what I said. Okay. Hook in, man. Yeah,
hook in. Exclamation point.
Yeah.
That's something that I've thought about before, but I hadn't done much, thinking about it since, was, as far as ratings and that kind of thing, there's no open search. I mean, and all that stuff is so gameable, and it just makes me,
Oh no, it's very cringy, but if someone wants to use the index to create it, of course.
Yeah. I mean, I could think, I could think that we could open up an API endpoint for some sort of, rating. I don't know. If somebody can think of something good, open for anything.
But the last thing we want to be doing is providing, rating statistics.
Yeah. It's really got to be binary, I would think. It's got to, the ratings, like on these rating systems where you have like 1 to 5 stars and stuff like that, that's all crap.
Yeah.
It's like, you really need just kind of one thing. Was this podcast good? Did you like it? Yes, no.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think it's subjective. What I always find interesting is I do want to follow people. So if someone says, hey, I like this or I like this or like that, and I'd like to follow that person because I like their recommendations, that feels good to me.
Oh, I can see that.
Just the general, like, oh, a lot of people click like. Yeah. I don't find a lot of value in that. But, hey, we're not the experts, so someone else will show up and we'll see what comes out of it.
Yeah, let's. Do we want to? We got an email from Chris. who is a dude named Ben for a small church in West Virginia. Did you see that email?
I don't, maybe.
I wondered if we, he talked about the sermon keyword spam that we talked about.
Yes. Chris Polk. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You think we can read that?
I don't see why not.
Yeah. He says, I won't read the whole thing. I'll just kind of skim through. He just said, basically says, I have no doubt your keyword problem comes from some well-meaning, maybe crooked church consultants.
Nailed it.
I guess that it's possible that they figured out how to duplicate these feeds and made it look like a magic trick. Look how cool our setup is. he says, but this was kind of interesting to me, though. He said, I love the fact that services like Squarespace make podcasting for dummies easy, but I don't like being captive because I can't do the code myself. If I offend the gatekeepers, I'm deplatformed with no way of reconnecting with my audience. And the reason I printed that out is because you were talking about that on your show with Mike and Todd.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about just being deplatformed and, you know, that kind of jazz. But
right.
And it's not just, when I saw that, I started thinking about, it's not just the Alex Jones type guys that you have to worry about. It's kind of flipped. And we talked about this, I think, was before, where if you go back maybe 20 years ago and you thought about people being deplatformed, so to speak, quote unquote, that wasn't a thing then. If you go back sort of even pre-internet and talk about people being silenced or deplatformed, it was atheists, you know, that sort of thing. Now there's been this flip. And so now the people that are worried about being deplatformed are not the atheists. Now the people worried about it are the religious.
Yes.
And that's just I think that's a good indicator that you can't pick a moment in time and say, okay, this is what the battle is going to be forever. Because things change and social movements change.
Mm-hmm.
And things, what is now considered the oppressed and the oppressor can easily flip-flop.
Easily flip. Yep. A lot of it's taking place.
Yeah. And so we may not be, you know, 10, 15, 20 years from now, we may not be talking about the conspiracy theorist, quote unquote, crowd that are getting deplatformed. We may be talking, they may be in charge and they may be deplatforming everybody else.
It was interesting. I was talking with Max and Stacy about this today. I said, you know, we really want to retool our next phase, retooling podcasting as a platform of value. And I said, the reason why is if we just sit and wait and say, oh, it's just a guy doing CBD sales online that he got financially deplatformed. Oh, you know, it's just this particular crazy handmade tale cult religion. It's okay that MasterCard doesn't want to process for them. That you can't do that because being on the lowest rung of the show business ladder, podcasters, you know, we're on the list.
Yeah.
So it comes in different forms. And this is really what we're talking about is some kind of sovereignty. You know, so just to circle back to Chris's note, the number one thing is to, in general, on the internet, is to have own your domain name. That will save you so much aggravation and sadness down the road. Own that. Make sure you own it. Make sure you keep it up to date, that it's registered. And whatever you do, no matter where you do it, if it's Squarespace, as long as it's your domain name, you know, .com, .org, whatever it is, if you decide you need to change, then you can always, then it will be reasonably transparent for the entire internet. That said, education is key. And I would love to see every parent, and hey, old people and parents, you can do this yourself, grab an old laptop you threw out, find a Linux CD or learn how to download one, and just wipe that laptop and install Linux and just see if you can get it running. You will learn so much about the internet that you never understood how that worked. And it's kind of a fun process. And you certainly should make your kids do it. when it comes to the RSS feed, I'd recommend anybody who can read and can sit still for 5 minutes can look at an RSS feed. So, you know, if you see an RSS feed, click on it. In some browsers, it may try to open something else up, but see if you can do a view source. Just see if you can see the actual file itself and just very slowly look at it and see if you see some patterns. Hmm. Because when we started 16 years ago, there were a lot of people making their RSS feed in Notepad by hand.
Yeah.
Just a copy paste, you know, here's an element. Okay, I have to change these little things, the timestamp. Now, this is all automated, of course, which is why you have WordPress and Blueberry and Squarespace. But it behooves you. Learn it. Just look at it. 5 minutes and you'll, okay, I see it. Here's the opening. It describes the show, what's in here. And then, here's each episode. It's, okay, I see it. It has a title. It has a link. It has a description. And you see that pattern. And, man, it's going to benefit you big time. Just understanding how it works, so when you need to move or do something else, you don't have to lose your audience.
Totally, totally agree. I mean, you still curate your RSS feed by hand. You generate it,
and then I do.
Stick it in an editor, and you clean it up by hand, right?
So I use the Freedom. It's basically a Freedom Controller RSS outline. Yeah. But for each new episode, I copy the previous one. So I'm incrementing everything by one. You know, I'm a human AI on this. Mm-hmm. And I go very carefully and I make sure everything's in there. And, you know, I need to include show notes. And I have a process, which is a checklist, which I can now do by memory.
Yeah.
And I like it. I like seeing it. I actually see it's almost an exact representation of the code that your app is going to see. I like looking at it. Does this make sense? Okay, this is good. Yeah. And then I hit save, and then I drop it on the server, and it's good to go.
I'd say an interesting thing for people who are not like super techie or that kind of thing, like you were talking about, would be to make a feed like in Notepad, that kind of thing, mm-hmm. and then drop submit it to the podcast index and watch what happens, and make a change to it, and then see it update. Like that's an interesting thing, or see it not update and then wonder what you did wrong.
Big topic. How are we doing on submissions, adding feeds?
There's just a steady stream coming in. It's still roughly 60 to 100 a day.
Do you have any overview of who's connected to us now? I mean, I know that Drunk Plato was working on the website, and we're going to get a whole page, kind of a developer page, but developer/who's doing what page. So we can feature everybody.
Yeah, we're gonna have to do that because it's. I know we're still. It's the same guys that we talked about last week, and I think if I'm not mistaken, Blueberry is
submitting.
I don't know if they're doing it yet, but I know that their developers are working on it.
Nice.
It's pro. Yeah. Nice. So Mike Dell, is that his name?
Yeah.
He was in there, and then Todd was telling me when he gave me that feedback about duplication, he was saying that he had his guys working on doing that submission process.
Nice.
So, yeah, they're coming up soon.
Excellent. And
that's all automated. We can pull once that page gets up, when, Drunk Plato finishes the redesign.
Cool.
So it shouldn't be hard.
Cool. Yeah. Very cool.
That's about all I got today, man.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if I had anything else on my list here.
Do clip 5, Michelle Obama.
Okay.
Baller.
Yes, indeed. That's me.
scrape at the bottom with the. Clip 7's pretty good. Try clip 7.
I'm not dead. I'm just doing a podcast.
I may keep that. That's a good end of show ISO. That's right, everybody. Hey.
I'm not dead. I'm just doing a podcast.
See, now it's funny. But at the same time, why, Michelle? Why? Why do you take us down to such a low level? That is so unfair. We feel very professional here. We feel like we're doing good stuff and we're very alive.
Yeah. No, absolutely not dead yet, but we feel like that sometimes.
Dave, good to catch up, man.
And
anything you need to look forward to is just heads down, keeping it moving.
Yeah, I guess so. There's just some things. The one thing I'm going to you know, I always tell you exactly what I'm going to do and then not do any of it.
Of course. Yeah, but,
so the thing I'm not going to do this week is search, non-English language search.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
No, it's not.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen the Arabic come through. I've seen some kanji, some Chinese, all kinds of, this is where it gets really fun.
Yeah, Unicode search is, very doable, clearly, but it's not the easiest thing in the world to get set up. So I've cloned the search server over to a separate box, and I'm going to start playing with it and get that working properly. You got to define all your Unicode ranges and all this kind of jazz. Mm. So I'm going to tinker around with it, get that working, and then once it's solid, then I'll pull it back in and replace the current search server with that one. So that's in the mix.
Excellent. Please consider supporting the Podcast Index, the entire project, with your time, your talent, or your treasure. If it's treasure you'd like to share, whatever you feel this is worth to you, this project and keeping it going, there's a donate button at podcastindex.org, or if you're a developer, on the development site. And spread the word. Get people joining up. Get them to api.podcastindex.org or podcastindex.social. Dave, we'll catch up again next Friday.
Yeah, man. Sounds good.
All right, everybody. Have a great weekend. We are reinventing podcasting.